Was, is that which will be. Amashana saw, and that which was done is that which will be done. There's nothing new under the sun.
Oh, you know, we didn't
seem like it's illustration of the second one.
We didn't say what Ches was different than the
there's no new topic. Everything is
what is it called again? The what?
And we said how each thing is doesn't get old. The was that the air doesn't get filled, and that doesn't get filled was because you need two factors, Lunas and the desired object, right? So after a time it gets worn out, right?
Right.
So he was kind of in the cycles, as you're saying. So in other words, when you have a thing, so you don't really point out clearly what the difference between this person and that.
No, the ches is the, in other words, see, Zion is the process. Pasuk Zion is the process that occurs. Ches is an explanation of why the process occurs that way. You see? Ches is the explanation of why it occurs that way. So you take a look at the certain goes like this. Hey is the cycle, right? Vav is the conscious reason why the guy falls himself. Zion is the mechanism of the energy distribution of the mind. And Ches is the general philosophical principle as to why it works that way. The general reason why it works that way. So the reason why it works that way is because man's energy system is such that his pleasure by far exceeds his desire for pleasure by far exceeds the reality. The corresponding reality. See, that's the thing. Okay? That's the way it goes. Hey is a cycle. Love is a psychological reason why he fools himself. The little bit of reality he has to fool himself on. Zion is a psychological, the real cause of the what happens. And Ches is the philosophical. See, Ches tells you, because man is structured in such a way. Ches really is like meta-ethics. That's like meta-ethics. What do you mean by meta-ethics? In other words, it's showing you the way man is created. In other words, man is created in such a way, his nature is such that he, God created him in that way, that he will never be able to have the corresponding reality to the title. See? That's right. Now up to the cause. Yes. Masha Hu, Masha Hu Chi. What was he saying here? Masha Hu Chi. I advise you to work on the second time. Before you go. Wasn't it? See, Pasuk Ches doesn't just tell you simply that that's the way it is, that you can't have the corresponding enjoyment. It tells you why. It gives you a basic reason why. That's called Avraham Yigeyim. What isn't it called Avraham Yigeyim? Because man's energy system is so much that it cannot be satisfied by any physical thing. Because the physical things themselves require too much time, and the physical is not under his jurisdiction to be able to create the situation where I'll get it. You understand what I mean? It's not just a general statement. It shows you why it is that way. You follow? In other words, anything which is physical, by definition, requires certain physical actions, right? And by definition, it has to do with certain physical reality, which is not under your control. Therefore, the enjoyments will never be as great as his desire. You understand what I mean? Any physical activity, the guy has is, first of all, he's subject to time, right?
Time.
He's subject to place, right? And he's subject to factors which are uncontrollable. Has to be, because that's the nature of the physical. That's inherent in the physical, right? Whatever a guy wants to do, a guy wants to go on a fishing trip, he has to spend time, get the bait. It was a physical thing.
Anything which is
an enjoyment of the internal man doesn't require any of this. You can sit there right away, you can think, and enjoy yourself. Remember when you tell your story about Einstein, that he had to wait for a guy by a bridge?
Yeah, right.
No difference. Wait over here. Why? Because he always has the enjoyment. You see? The enjoyment is always there. That is a person that can really have a totally enjoyable life.
The only thing is, you
have to always enjoy it.
I mean, while you're doing all these
things. The first thing you have to do is get to finish, right?
That's true. Oh, but there's a big difference. Because the point is that insofar as it definitely doesn't take that much to get the facts as it does to what it calls
analyze. Well, many
of the facts are right there. Many of the facts are right there in many areas. For instance, like the facts in psychology, facts in logic and how the mind works, things like that. And definitely philosophy, way of life, facts are right in front of you, the way of life. That's right from the list goes down to wise.
Okay, so the quantitative differences.
And even those things require the facts. So how much time does it take for to get the facts? Mm-hmm. The facts are there, now it's putting in knowledge, the facts are there.
Same for the quantitative difference, that no learning you need less time.
In an experiment, there wouldn't really be considered a guy that goes for knowledge. The guy that does the experiments. That would be a guy that goes for physical. See, the theoretician, the thinker, is the guy that doesn't do the experiments. Those guys waste years of their lives to do thousands of experiments. The thinker is the guy that just takes the results. And one says, what are the results? Okay, this and that, and then he starts working on the theories. That's the difference between that. That's why one of the greatest scientists, thinkers in the last generation, guy Alfred North Whitehead, very great mind, great mathematician, physicist. He used to say most people who are called scientists aren't really scientists. He says they're just clerks. They're clerks. Why? Because what they do is they do the experiments and they think they're scientists. That's not really a scientist. It's just a guy that does physical labor. It's physical labor within the realm of science. But he's not really a scientist. Scientist is a thinker. You've got to use the learn and do the experiments. Einstein himself conducted very few experiments. Well, we get all those experiments from the others, from the other people working the physical. So it takes him 2 minutes. He looks at the thing, the facts, and starts immediately starts using his mind. You know what I mean?
What did you say before?
He didn't make a single experiment when he worked out his theory. Nothing. Everything will
The point is that the general physical pleasure during the time that you're preparing for it, more need for pleasure builds up.
Right. Yeah. And he also has the pain of not achieving the
So while that pleasure is building up, so it'll be impossible to ever
right. Yeah, but also isn't you an energy, right? I mean, in other words, this new energy you have in September, right? So in other words you're pointing, the point comes in October. Yeah. So you have the same amount of energy that you have you had in September. So that one source of energy wants to satisfy what all the desires. In other words, energy is constantly being consumed, right? Whether in pleasure or pain. So it's only
not necessarily. Not necessarily, because in pain, they release the frustration. If a guy consumes energy in pain, he'll have a breakdown after a while. Guy that has total pain, guy that constantly gets frustrated, you get a mental breakdown.
Yeah, but any guy who works during the day is consuming his energy.
No, but the pain is displeasure. Displeasure isn't the energy seeks satisfaction. When he has displeasure, then on the contrary, then his need for pleasure builds up greater. Or else he experiences certain unhappiness.
But isn't that energy, isn't the human energy being consumed?
In other words,
if a person is in pain, so he also gets tired.
If there's being consumed, what happens is the guy, you see, there's a certain level where a guy can function before he cracks up. In other words, how do they function? He functions, he lives with a certain measure of unhappiness. So the energy turns out into frustration. Frustration makes him a certain amount of unhappiness. Sure, so that's it. So he's unhappy. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Right, 3 months later, they say that...
No, it doesn't keep building up until he goes. It expresses itself in unhappiness. That's the way it works. In other words, the guy wanted to go someplace. He waited, he wanted to go someplace. He got there, it wasn't what he wanted. So he's unhappy. So it expresses itself in unhappiness. That's how finally...
Yeah, and then later on, when he finally goes on a trip, right?
Yeah.
So he still has his regular amount of energies, right? It wasn't the energies that thought up, therefore he doesn't satisfy.
No, but the only thing but what happens is that over his lifespan, he has a tremendous amount of unhappiness, and a very little amount of happiness.
Right.
But he's looking for that happiness all the time, which
he's trying to satisfy so much happiness with a small amount of energy.
That's right. Only with a small amount of energy.
In other words, when he finally gets the pleasure, right?
Yeah.
So then he has his normal energy source, right? I mean, you don't have...
When he gets the pleasure, right. The rest was spent on
so with that regular amount of energy, he wants to satisfy for 3 months.
That's right, but he can't. That's impossible.
Right. It's the same energy.
Well, it's true. And another thing is also the physical reality doesn't lend itself to that much satisfy for... He can't store it up. If you could store... You're right, he can't store it up. Yeah, that was spent already on happiness. In other words, when the energy doesn't get the happiness, when the person doesn't get what he wants, he feels unhappiness. That's why people feel unhappy about their lives. You see? And that's why even some people don't even know that they're unhappy, but they're unhappy about it. Like a guy asked me one time, he said, what do I care? What do I care about if I'm happy or not? He says, as long as I think I'm happy. As long as I think I'm happy. That's just like saying a guy has cancer, as long as he thinks he's healthy. It's okay. The point is that the body is definitely deteriorating, right? And over here, he might not know it, but he walks around with a certain feeling of unhappiness, certain uneasiness, certain unhappiness. So he doesn't know it. I guess maybe unhappy or something
else. How is it possible not to recognize it?
That's the commonest thing you got to do. Easiest way out. Also the hardest. Okay. Now, alright. So that's the Pasuk Ches. Now Pasuk Ches. What is Pasuk Ches? He's not saying the physical things themselves. I remember one time when the Russians came out with the Sputnik. You probably don't remember that story for a time. Sputnik. So the Sputnik was the first satellite to go into space. The Russians made it.
For what?
For your time? For 1960. Yeah.
Wait.
Wait, what? Yeah? When you want? 16. missed that a lot. But anyways, no, I'm sorry, it wasn't 50. It was about 58.
But I wouldn't remember it when I was ready.
What? No?
Yeah.
I'd be off by a couple of years. I don't remember that. But anyways, so when they came out with it, so it was like a new thing, a tremendously new thing. So
they did it for
the
U.S.?
They did it for the U.S. That's what got the U.S. into the whole program. It was a race. It was a company for the Russians. A race for the show was the greatest. So, national pride was the Russians got it the first one. That's why we, at that time, that's when Kennedy said that we will get the first man on the moon. So that was his Republic. Advancing for the Russian Sputnik. But Sputnik, the Russians have started then. Now, what happens is like this. So when that came, when that happened, that was like a totally new thing. Man never did that before. See? I remember there was somebody came with a Medrash. It said that the Dar Mabel also, they had something going up into the sky. Something like that.
So why did they have to bring a Medrash?
Because it's Pasuk.
Okay.
Pasuk Bavar. See? It doesn't matter if the Pasuk doesn't mean physical things. The Empire State Building didn't mean this before. It doesn't mean everything that physical existed before. I'll tell you why it can't mean that. Why can't it mean that?
Because
there had to be one first, right?
Yeah.
There had to be one thing that's first. Let's say there's an Empire State Building twice, right? So there had to be one that's first. Mm-hmm. And how could he know that at his time there's not going to be anything more? It's crazy. You still enough knowing this time that every possibility already occurred? That'd be one first. You can tell me there's no such thing as a first thing. So then I could say that's a general principle. There's no such thing as a first thing. But that's an impossibility. Because if you're going to tell me that it's not first because there was one before, so the one before must have been first. So obviously there is a first. Oh, so then the only other possibility is to say that he means that there's all the possibilities have been exhausted by his at the time. That's crazy. I think all the possibilities have been exhausted. So on?
Yeah.
You understand what I mean? So therefore the possibility definitely does not refer to the physical. You understand that? Can't.
I was thinking before that when we said there might be an infinite amount of divisions, that means there's no first, right?
That's right.
Before each one.
There's no first?
Right.
Well, how about...
You mean there's no first physical thing?
No, it's... Well,
that's a totally different thing we're talking about. The infinite flowing object.
That's not
what
I mean. The earth is infinite. The earth is infinite. The earth is infinite. It's impossible anyway, so it has to be first. Okay. So that's why he can't mean the physical. So what does he mean then?
Emotions.
He means emotions. What do you mean emotions?
It means that you might think it's a new physical thing came about, or a new pleasure, new desire, but really it was all... It was all from a pleasure or a desire that was before. It's just manifesting itself in a different way.
Say it again.
You would think that there might be a new thing that is invented and that gives you a different pleasure than you've ever had before. But really, that pleasure was always there. It's a different manifestation of the pleasure.
Well, it's you and the person has the same sight.
Okay. Alright. Yeah. So saying like this in other words. Alright, we're up to the next pasuk. Masha hoya hu sheyia. Famous pasuk in Kehelis. In ko chodesh tachas Hashem. It's nothing new under the sun. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. The question is, what does it mean? So we said, up till now, we said it doesn't mean physical objects. Because that's impossible. It should mean that everything that happened means that it's going to happen happened already. Because if he's saying that there's no such thing as a first thing, so that thing that happened was first. When it happened, it was first.
Copy.
So yeah. How could he know that? So the only other possibility is to say that all the possibilities took place up to his time. That's crazy. And there's infinite amount of possibilities. I mean, how could he say that? Right? So he doesn't mean physical thing. So he says that it means emotional. What do you mean by emotional things? Go ahead.
I mean that it's not that... what he means is that every pleasure that... You would think that there's a new thing came out that it would give you a different kind of pleasure in it. But
But really, it's not a different kind of pleasure. That, it's the same pleasure, the same emotion, but it's a different manifestation of that emotion.
Okay. Now, why? He's saying that there's no such thing. There is no such thing that's new in terms of giving a person a new type of pleasure. See, every pleasure you have now, they had already before. They had already before. That's what he's saying. That type of pleasure. Now, well, how can you? Why is that so? I mean, why should that be so? No. Why can't you say that this is a type of pleasure? It's a type of pleasure.
So what? So the energy from there. So then you say it's a new energy source, enjoying it.
No, there's not a new energy source. There's not a new energy source, but there's a new object which you'll find, which you'll enjoy more than they had before. No germs.
Yeah, but he's using the same. So that's what he's saying. There are different objects.
No, he's saying that everything you have now, any enjoyment you have now, you could have had before, right? Is that what he's saying? Well, how do you know? Maybe it'll come with a new thing that'll tap a new source of enjoyment that you never had before.
Oh, because it's all
different. Not by definition. Masha, in that guy, Bushi, within that guy himself, is not going to find a new emotion. So it'll be cycle, you know what I mean?
You mean only the same person? No, really the pasuk is referring to, what is it called? It's referring to what happened in the past. There's no question about it. It means, it's not referring to that, it's referring to the history. It's saying in history, look back into history, you won't find anything new.
Ideas.
What? Ideas. What ideas? Except the world of ideas. Rashi interprets it to mean entrenched distinction to the world of ideas. That's not the Rashi, if anything Rashi means. Look at the pasuk first. Alright, so why is there nothing now?
Why is there no new ideas?
I'm not talking about ideas, I'm talking about physical germs. What people are saying is no new physical germs. Why?
What does he mean?
That's what he's saying.
Why? So he's saying it's a possibility that you get an object where you increase the physical.
Yes.
The same energy source will be able to have a greater pleasure. In other words, like they'll decrease a quantitative factor. This is the basic same thing. I mean, no matter what you have the same law. It's solid object in the newness of it. I mean, it's the same psychological cause, no matter what object you have, right?
Yeah, because what he's saying here is one thing, that the physical pleasures are relative. Physical pleasures are relative to the situation. In other words, like this. A millionaire that lived 100 years ago, right, lived worse than any pauper that lives today on welfare. Why? I mean, it's a known fact that there wasn't any plumbing system years ago. Right? So, a guy that lives today on a welfare check has more conveniences than the wealthiest guy years ago. Right?
Well, it's not really true. I mean, he doesn't have the same enjoyment as a greater enjoyment. He's a greater enjoyment. Because he has a greater pride that he's a millionaire than
the answer is because the pleasures are always in a relative way. See, it's relative to what you could get. The millionaire 100 years ago was just as happy as the millionaire today because he felt that sense of pride that he's a millionaire. Follow? Felt that he's getting the most out of the
reality
of life. Now we look back at him and say, he really was a jerk. He didn't get the most out of life, right? We are getting the most out of life, right? Now you have to understand that this ties in very closely with a certain phenomena that people have, a certain phenomena that people think about. And it's an emotion, but it's a very, very powerful emotion. What emotion is it? A certain emotion that people have that ties into this fantasy. Yeah, but how? There's a certain thing.
Who's generous?
Yeah. A certain thing known, what people call modernity. Modernity. You know what modernity means?
No.
Modern. In other words, people look at life in the last generation, they look at life as this is the real life. We have the new things, we have all things. This is real. Back into the past, take a look at them. Primitive people, they really didn't have it. We are alive today. Them, they're just facts in history. So there's a concept of modernity. Not only is there a concept of modernity in terms of one generation and another, you see the way you see it express itself in clothes and things. Everything in a person, new, constantly new. Why do I have to change the car model every day? There's an emotion of newness. What is the newness really? What is that emotion of newness do? See, people couldn't take the idea that you have the same exact thing day in and day out. They want change. Never mind this inborn obsolescence. If people didn't want it, they wouldn't buy it. They'd have another company making cars, same type of cars. If they buy it, they could complain about it if they're paying more for it. But they want it, and that's why they sell it. See? Now, what is the what is this emotion? This emotion of newness. A certain emotion over there. There's a certain emotion. It's a very interesting emotion in a person. They believe that he, now in modern times, like modern times is the objective reality. See, this is the real life. Years ago, that's the old one.
Then he said,
the question of why people consider real that which is present. In other words, they feel, everybody feels that just this generation really knows we have knowledge. Okay? And the other generations, unfortunates. Why don't we think that we're unfortunate in comparison to the next 10 generation? We don't think that way. This is the latest. The latest act. See, there's an emotion attached to the latest. But the latest is only the oldest thing. And another 100 years, it's going to be the oldest.
It isn't so much true, though.
What's that?
That as man goes on, he makes that new theoretical
story. Sure, makes new things. No question about that. But the emotion attached to the new is unwarranted. Of course there's new things.
But some people
no question about that.
Some people think that they're not so modern, relative to the world.
I understand. But we have to understand that people will think the other way, because that's what the Pasuk is for. In other words, the Pasuk's taking away offense. See, a guy that's in contact with reality, the Pasuk's not arguing with him. You know what I mean? There's a guy that's in contact with reality that says, you know, definitely, look, they were, in their time, they were just like we are. In Hanami, that's true. There might be people like that. But on the whole, society doesn't think that way. See, the thrust of society is newness, something new. We, today, 1976, this is the life, this is the real life.
Guys in the past, this is the physical thing, only. Your car that you had 10 years ago, a new car, was the greatest, it was the best, but now when you look back, you say, look at what happened.
You attach reality. In other words, every generation, the latest generation, the last generation, always attaches more of a concept of reality to their existence than the past generation.
You understand what I'm saying? If you look at, say, the movie after the year 2000, right?
So if you come out of the movie, you say, oh boy, we're behind time. That's why the movie gets you, see? Yeah. But then you go back to the old way. That's the whole thing of the movie. You break that immersion. Right.
Why is that so?
Because people can't, obviously, people do see what was in the past. People can't see what is in the future. And see what they have now. I mean, the future, you can't compare to the future because you don't know. You don't know.
All right, that's true. But there's another basis for it. See, the basis is like this. When a person looks at life, and a person looks into the past, so he sees Dor HaLech with Dor Bor, that's very upsetting. It's very upsetting to the guy. Why? Because he sees that just like he's just going through the motions, just like they did in the past. See, they're dead already now. All the things that they considered important, like someone else says later, says their hatreds and their friendships and their loves and their dislikes, they're all gone. Just in the sand now. It's nothing. A person cannot face life with the idea that this is the way his life is also. Just another one of those. A replica of what happened before. See? Can't take that. Yeah, repeat yourself. You're just a relic, but you're just living. And in a few more years, you're going to be just like them. Mm. Can't take that. Emotion is very hard to take. See? So that's why people want to say they want to differentiate between themselves and the past. Because they take a look at the past, they get very, very upset, very depressed. You see? What differentiates the present from the past? One simple thing. What differentiates?
New,
something new. See? Hello? Something else.
Yeah, but they think it's a new relative.
How about
the
future?
What?
See, they only think new is all relative,
though. Oh. That's right. See, the reality of life is in one spot. The reality of life is in the past records. You understand what I mean? The reality of life is in the past records.
How future?
Take a look at history. You see, here's the reality, right? But if a person would look at the past, and he'd see the reality over there, and he'd say that his life is going to be that same reality.
When they look at history,
that's why they have to say that the past, that's something that is, but now is something new. Fella?
I got to.
That's not what you said. That the you mentioned that the enjoyment of the typing is something else. That's the thing. Why? Because otherwise he already has a pragmatic experiment which shows what his whole life is. You can't, because you can't be satisfied with reality. That's the point. You see, the past is reality, and the Taifa doesn't want reality. Taifa wants
future.
Why does Taifa want future? What's the energy of the desire for the Taifa?
No, 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 no,
and then you can look at yourself and say,
people, you know, look that way. Because, when
so
they
we look at the
past,
present now, we look at
when
the,
they look at the
past,
they look at things that are as the way they would like themselves to be. In other words, when they look at Napoleon, they say, "Oh, I'd like to be somebody like Napoleon who will live forever. His name will
will live forever." Right.
Right. Yeah,
that's
so that's what they do. So they identify with the guys. You know, the whole outlook on history is the guys whose names will stand up. Not the boy that can't mind like that.
Well, the name standing up is a further development of the same fantasy.
Yeah, right.
That's what wouldn't that be a basic cause for belief, so many belief movements, because they see themselves as being part of this movement, therefore they cannot die.
Yeah,
that promotes self-sacrifice and stuff like that, because they see themselves as immortal because they're part of this religion,
exactly,
part of this cause, right?
Yeah.
And therefore, they become immortal with the causes, but they can't die. Therefore, it's like a basic part of it, and you're able to manifest itself like.
Exactly.
Yeah, I read about this, how people are able to remain, how some people are able to remain sane while they're in jail. I mean, if they're part of a revolutionary. Because if they could think that there's people out there still at his cause, who is close to the law, so it's able for him to bear. But once, so you can be part of them, but once it's not, then there's no hope for him. So
you see that with Paris, like the other, every single one of her was destroyed, and she already changed back. This is something else to have to deal with.
Also, you see from this why people change, why people try to revolt against the past, because if they stay the same, then they subconsciously see this is that it's nothing. It's nothing. What's been done before. So therefore, they have to change. So they say, this is what I'm going to do now is going to be better than before. It's not going to be.
Make a whole new revolution.
That's how one of the guys was exploiting self-sacrifice.
What are you revolting against? The reality of the physical state of what happened in the past, or they're revolting against the fact that they're going to die? I mean,
yeah, they're revolting against the fact that they're going to just be another
case of the puzzle.
Another
a
case.
A link in the chain.
Another case in the past. In other words, it's just a repetition of another case in the past.
Oh.
This life has already been lived already by somebody else. The only thing is you're living it, but somebody else lived the exact same thing.
So the whole thing boils down to
something
mentality,
right?
That's what it is. All right,
well,
it's always something special. Because no matter what they do, it's what they do.
That's a good question. Is it the desire for immortality? There's two fantasies showing up laid down at the beginning. One is the fantasy of immortality, and the other one is the fantasy of the Taifa. Right?
Okay.
Which one is this?
Well, I would say that it's the fantasy of
I'd say it's trying to. He knows that he's going to die. Because he knows you're going to die. So what he's trying to do is destroy
both.
You could say both. I'd say both. I'll tell you why. Definitely the fantasy of immortality.
I'd say fantasy of time.
Also, you see, you mentioned before the newness, right?
Yeah.
See, the newness, in other words,
itself
shows that I might die, but here is where we're really going to enjoy ourselves. This is the best time to live. See, this is the best time to live.
Therefore, he has
a choice. This is the best time to live.
So therefore, he will never leave.
It's
definitely is. He's going back to both.
Part of the emotion that this is it is that this will be for eternity, that this year will never pass.
Not to see
him
like this.
It's time right now. They're pissed. He's saying this is it, right?
He's saying like this. He's saying like this. People in the past couldn't really fulfill the title the way I want. See? But they didn't have the ability to. I'm living now. I can. See? I could really have life. It really is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Very active. what they do is they look back, right, and they see that if they look at reality, they see that really nothing was each guy, you know, so what? You know, he did it. But he also, he can do a whole other thing. He's never going to be such, in other words,
the greatest.
You're right. Beyond the realm of anybody else's possibility.
So the bus is warning us against the smudge.
The very much to show you is to show you that this is not true. And all these, that it's just the opposite, really. All these things that a guy lives through and all these things, it's fantasy. It's only fantasy. The truth of the matter is that he just lives through exactly what the guy lived through 100 years ago. Same thing. There's no qualitative difference. There really is nothing.
Except for modern.
What? Except for the inventions. But the modern inventions don't really make a change in his life, because that's relative. That's a relative thing. In other words, the enjoyment isn't really increased. Because it's all a relative thing. It's a proportion. In those days, if a guy had a horse and wagon, the guy was overjoyed. Right. Now, a guy has a Cadillac, is overjoyed. He has a car. Single questions. Nothing else.
So why does that guy, if he's just so afraid of looking back at the past, saying this was no good this way, right?
Yeah.
So if he's going to buy something new now, right?
Yeah.
So why doesn't he? Why kind of person like that? Why would a person like that wait until if he knows that his thing is going to be obsolete in a few years? So should a person like that keep waiting until?
No, because that's ridiculous. I'm never enjoying it.
Also, he's trying to enjoy himself now.
That's
even though he knows now,
that's why he has to fool himself and say this is the greatest right now.
Oh, but even though he knows that, he has it in his mind, in the back of his mind.
Back of his mind. Push it, keeps it in the back. That's the thing. Guys have a lot of things in the back of the way. Way in the back. Don't dwell on that one. Just keep it back there.
Yeah, how do we know that there's no emotion?
Hmm?
Don't put in no emotion.
And there's no reason to assume there's no emotion. He's trying to show you there's no reason. He's telling you a principle over here. You understand what I mean? He's not telling you there's no emotions.
Yeah, but he's saying that the Nephil will be in the emotion.
What?
He's saying that the Nephil will be one.
There's no basis to assume that. I mean, a guy can always assume that there's a ghost in the closet, too.
Oh, right.
We have no basis for that. That's the old ghost in the closet thing.
Told you where? Wasn't it
good? But also, Mark, there has to be a cause, too. I mean, it can only be an external factor.
We see from fact, we see that every generation has the same exact thing, right?
Yeah, but...
Now, obviously, it's a...
Yeah, but in order for there to be change, it would have to be... It could only be external.
What could it sound?
Even if the possibility was so, it would have to be from external... an external thing. The band's basic psyche should change when you take a new course.
Yeah,
like a different baby.
They have a new pleasure that would tap all the energy resources. See? That's really what the guy's looking for. Oh, these are new pleasures now. Now we can really enjoy life. See? That's false. That's just the imagination, because the guy wants to believe that way. That's why he has to make the past unreal and the present real. And the proof is when they see the way the guy operates, see the way the guy works. The past, those guys, primitive guys. Primitive guys are the best. Now we're living in modern times. Like they look at a lot of people look at the medicine of the past. They laugh. Ah, those people, what do they know? What are you laughing at? They're going to be laughing at you soon. You know what I mean? But the point is that they don't think of it that way. Because I think this is the real. Now, we really have it. But then, those guys' lives aren't real. They're just living in the clouds over there. See? That's the thing. They differentiate qualitatively between the two when there is no basis for it. The only basis is an emotional desire, but there is no real basis for it. The whole concept of modernity is an emotional thing. The whole idea of modernity, being modern man.
So is it above reality?
Matter of fact, there's one guy, Thor Heyerdahl, who did a lot of Kon-Tiki, and he did a lot of work with primitive people, you know? And he says that one thing he came to realize was that people look at primitive people as really stupid, you know, isn't it? He says they definitely are just as intelligent as any person today. He says the only thing is that they're the factors, the objects that they're operating with.
What?
Yeah. In other words, with modern men, they couldn't figure out on Easter Island how they raised up those big monuments. Had the top scientists in the world could not figure it out, you know? Until one of the guys told them the secret, because they're very secretive, you know? And they don't want to give away how they did it.
But
they used to raise these gigantic things, weigh tons and tons, you know, hundreds of tons. The guys would raise these big statues. You know, no one knew how these scientists could not figure out how to do it.
I mean, those were cool.
And they had these funny faces, like, these long faces.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Easter Island. Easter
Island.
Chipped, yeah.
They
chipped
even Tonopah.
They had, like, wasn't Tonopah, it was like a big, gigantic rock.
Yeah.
A very simple way to where they did it, you see? What they did was, they used to take a big pole.
A chair.
A very long pole. and they put a rock underneath it to use it for leverage, right?
Leverage, yeah.
And they'd have loads of people coming, and they'd push it, and they'd put it upon the thing, and it would raise it a fraction of an inch, and then they'd shove a stone underneath. See? And they keep on doing this until they had stones underneath, until they kept on building up for days and days and days, until the thing was on a whole pile of stones. And then when it was on the pile of stones, what they do is they take away the stones on one side, and the thing would stand up this way. Follow?
Yeah.
Okay. And the scientists cannot work it out. Right? The top scientists in the world cannot work
it
out.
Yeah, I wrote that when I was told that. People
are disturbing. You just said it once, Mark? These guys were there, they tried it, we'll be able to do it.
We have a dance and he's a
top guys.
Well, so what was Phil Heidehold's main goal?
Oh, no, sorry, sir. No, that was something. I think he's a guy that likes to study primitive. That's his thing. He's an archaeologist, anthropologist, really. So that's his field. That's what he likes to study. But the point is, he says that the big mistake is that people look at these primitive people and think they're stupid. He says, a lot of modern guys would never think of the ideas that these guys thought of. You know, the thing is that in a modern guy, what does he do? He turns to television on. That's what the problem is. believe me, any savage could learn how to do that in 2 seconds. So the whole idea, but this idea, the reason why people think that way is because of this emotion. Okay, let's take
Pasigiri.
Now let's see what we can
figure out.
Interesting, Rashi, I don't know if I have Rashi completely. Yes, Bill, what's the question?
Do
you understand the idea of the basic idea? It's a very important idea, because it's something that's very prevalent in society in general, in every society. It's so funny, when you meet, I was one time reading Dialogues of Plato, so it talks about, in the modern times, he says, yeah. And here's a contrast between modern times and the ancients. It's so funny, that was over 2,000 years ago, you know? But they have the same idea, you know? I mean, the concept of modernity, each generation, they think this is an objective thing. They don't want to recognize that as only a relative thing. That's the mistake of the mind. The person...
Who made that mistake?
No, I don't think he was saying it himself. I think he was saying the way the kids were... He's mentioning the way the kids were talking. The youth talk that way.
I was going to ask you, we learn from the other pasuk, it's a Gemara, know that the Ein Kol Chadash Tachas Hashemesh, his nature won't change. Is that a Gemara? What is that?
No, Ein Kol Chadash Tachas Hashemesh only means one thing. Not his nature won't change, it means that there really is nothing new over here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but somebody learns that, that doesn't sound...
It only seems. He projects a newness onto there, like there's a real newness there. But in reality, it's the same thing. You understand what I mean?
Yeah, no, I want to ask
you. I mean, the
Drush
of the Lord?
There's a Drush from the point of Pasuk that...
Okay, with Rashi. Rashi's not Drush. Rashi is... Bechoma, let's see if we can understand Rashi. I never really worked this Rashi out. Bechoma, she lo made the Dovah Shu Chalipa Hashemesh, ain't by Chiddush. Lo yira elo masha hoya kvar. She never b'shesh shimei b'reshes. Avala hoyge b'tera maitze ba tamid chidushe taimim. Kinyin shenemar. Dodeho yiravach. Yirvach. Bacholeis, maha dora ze kozman shatinik b'mashu b'mochi b'tam, ach divrei Torah came. It's like when a child nurses from the breast, so he always gets more, so in Torah also the same way. Achim atzina b'mesech ha-kigish, amr Rebbe Eliezer ben Hurkanis, devorim shlo shamosan oizen b'maisen ha-kava. Eliezer ben Hurkanis said things that nobody ever heard of before in, about maisen ha-kava. So what is Rashi saying about that? What is Rashi saying? Interesting Rashi. The drush always fits in with the pasuk. The pasuk is only showing you how the physical life is no good. So Rashi says there's a remiss for that in the words tachas hashemesh, because tachas means instead of,
yeah.
Right? Instead of the sun, right? The makom. And so he says it means that everything is physical, but in the non-physical, in the world of the ideas, well, none of these things are true. See?
Right.
Follow? That's what Rashi tells you. How the remiss fits in. There's always a remiss in the pasuk for the concept. But the concept comes straight off from the pasuk. You know what I mean? Because he's telling you the physical. He's knocking down the whole physical world, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so he says the rem is in the pasuk to show you that only the physical world is being knocked down. But these things, these premises, are not true about the real life, which is the life of Torah.
Right, okay.
Oh, so that's the rem is the tachas hashemesh.
Okay, so that's how it's worked out.
So what is it? What do
you
mean?
You actually said that. No.
There is nothing new. What do you mean? Rabbi Ozman Hooker had new ideas that never existed before. It's impossible.
Yeah,
is it false?
What is it?
False?
Is it Torah?
He created ideas just discovered.
He discovered, so what does it mean? So a guy could discover...
He discovered ideas that existed.
So a guy discovers new physical things too.
Maybe he's talking about the enjoyment.
Why is it relative here too?
In other words, physical things, it's the same thing. You know, every thing that you do, every physical thing, it's always from a different emotion that was always that existed before. But if you think of a new svara,
yeah.
It's a new svara. It's a new satisfaction.
Define a little more.
The only difference you can have with different physical objects is a quantitative difference.
Yeah.
But in Chacham and Torah, the difference between as far as it's qualitative.
Let me get to it a little bit. What he's saying is like this. In the physical world, it's a relative in German. It's relative. The guy enjoyed, like you said, the guy enjoyed his Volkswagen years ago. Just like the guy enjoyed today's car, right? It's a relative in German.
The way it works.
But in the world of the ideas, in the world of Torah, it's not relative. It really is absolute. Because the reason why you enjoy a new idea, a better idea, is because the nature of the idea is more knowledge. See, what is considered a better idea? See, let's say, for instance, you learn a certain thing, you learn a few facts, right? You understand the relationship between those two facts. You have a certain amount of knowledge, right? But when you understand the one idea in the whole sugya, you get more enjoyment. It's not a relative enjoyment. It's an absolute enjoyment. The enjoyment is because this idea is more of an idea. You understand? You get it closer to the truth. And the mind enjoys the truth. So therefore, the greater the truth, the greater the enjoyment. It's not relative. You don't say, well, this truth is greater than the other truth, and that's why I enjoy it. You understand what I mean? It's an absolute thing.
How can you say one truth is greater than another?
Not one truth is greater than another. In other words, when a person has stages in understanding concepts, right? First he understands the relationship between two cases in the Mishnah, right? Then afterwards he starts seeing the relationship between the Mishnah and another Mishnah. Then he sees the basic ideas. He starts seeing the whole sugya, right? Then he starts seeing five sugyas and shas lined up with one central concept. So he gets which gives you more enjoyment? The last idea or the first idea? The last. Why? Because the last is the greater idea insofar as it really gives you the... Now the reason why you enjoy the last idea is not because relative to the first idea. The reason why you enjoy it is because since the mind enjoys knowledge, which one has more knowledge? The last idea is more knowledge, and the mind enjoys knowledge, so therefore that which is more knowledge is more enjoyable. You understand what I'm saying? You follow what I'm saying?
Which is more physical pleasure?
So what's that relative?
The guy enjoys his whole life.
That's the relative.
Right.
He's telling you like this. He's telling you, Rashi's a beautiful Rashi here. I never worked out before. Rashi is saying like this, that in the physical world, it's a relative enjoyment. See? So in other words, if you were a guy that lived on bread and water, and a guy's going to give you a sardine, so you have tremendous enjoyment from that sardine. Just like the guy has enjoyment from a steak. As a matter of fact, you see people, what happens, people get too many typhus, they commit suicide. You know why? Because they get the there's nothing left to go. So therefore, it's all over. So in the physical, it's a relative enjoyment. But in the world of ideas, there is something in man which can enjoy thought, right? Now, when a person enjoys another thought, a new thought, or a thought that's a deeper thought, it's not because it's relative that he enjoys it, because it's deeper than the other one. No, it's because this is... Yeah, because this the nature of this thought is more thought. You understand what I'm saying? Now you see, now things like this. The real knowledge of thought, the true knowledge of thought is unification. What I mean by unification, we understand the relationship between many, many... The more things you see the relationship between... Then the more knowledge you have. Right. Remember, we went through the idea: who understands the physics more, Moshe Rabbeinu or the modern scientist? So he showed how Moshe Rabbeinu did. Why? Because he knows that it comes from God, right? Insofar as he knows God's nature, he can understand these things much better. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, this enjoyment that a person has from that knowledge, he enjoys because since he has something in him which enjoys knowledge, so the greater the knowledge, the greater the enjoyment. You follow what I mean? It's an absolute. It's not a relative. It's an absolute thing. Because that thing in him which enjoys knowledge, the greater the knowledge, the greater the enjoyment.
Well,
you follow what I'm saying?
It would be the same enjoyment even if there would be a greater knowledge than that.
That's right. You're right.
Oh, because it's not real.
You're right. Now, the greatest knowledge has to be the knowledge of God. Because we said everything you study, all different things, it all has to come into one thing. Because everything exists because of God. You keep on tracing the causes back until you get to God. So therefore, the true knowledge of the whole universe is knowledge of God, right? That's called Maisa Merkava. Maisa Merkava means knowledge of God. The Rambam says many times. Maisa Merkava is knowledge of God. Okay. Now, therefore, Rashi is like this: that Rebbe Elazar ben Hyrcanus found things Shelosh Shem Asa and Ozim Maisa Merkava.
Isn't that the Maisa Merkava?
This is the Maisa Merkava.
In
Cheskel, right. But that's all metaphors over there. If you have the Rambam explains in the other Maravachim what it means, but no one understands the explanation unless they know what it is. It's like he doesn't go into it. He says, He doesn't want to give it out to anybody that's not ready for it.
So he explains
the metaphor. It's a very, very hard time to say. Okay, but anyways, what we do know is that that is the highest form of knowledge, because then you understand the cause of all the causes, insofar as you have the knowledge of God, right? Now he brings down the Gemara, but Lez Ben Hukinus had the deepest idea, had an idea of metaphysics, a new idea of metaphysics, right? And now this new idea of metaphysics, the enjoyment of this new idea is one which is qualitatively differentiated. You understand? It's not quantitatively. See? So he was able to have a real enjoyment that nobody else had before because of the fact that he saw this
more
absolute truth. You understand what I'm saying? He saw knowledge, more knowledge than anybody else did before. You understand what I mean? So what he's showing you is that over there it's not a relative thing over there in the world of ideas. The world of ideas, it's an absolute, whereas in the world of type it's totally relative. That's the chalak. That's recognized. So therefore, he gives an illustration in this one case. Rav Lozman Orkinus found a new idea, right? Now this idea, he enjoyed this idea more than anybody else enjoyed before. See, in Taivas, it's not true. A guy that has a new car, he can't stand it, right? Oh, he's not as happy as the guy that had his coach 100 years ago. So therefore, it's all relative. But over here, if a guy would have a new idea in Chachma that nobody else had before, it wouldn't be. He really would have greater enjoyment than anybody else had before. Why? Because in that area, the enjoyment is absolute. It's not relative. That's what Rashi says.
Everything that person works for is even in the area of the physical, which embodies the spiritual. Anything physical.
Why is it so? In other words, in a sense like this, building the Beis HaMikdash as a structure for its physical sake, that it should last, that it should exist, that emotion is Hevel. The only reason why I should do it. But why do we build the Beis HaMikdash? But not because, not empire building. That's what it is. It's an empire building, even in the guise of Torah, is Hevel. You understand? My guy wants to build an empire. So he has the emotion of the empire tied to the Torah. Of course, you know this more, you want to build this tremendous thing, I'll say, oh, for Torah's sake. You know what I mean? But the truth of the matter is that most of the time there's a little emotion attached there. And the emotion isn't purely Torah. The emotion is because he wants to, just a desire to build. It's like, I want to build an empire. And that type of thing. Even in that area, that's the time you have to think about. Even in the area of Torah, a guy can fool himself into thinking. And that this is really, it's all level, any physical structure level. The only thing you do is do it before the mess, but nothing for the mess. So that's my point. What did you see there?
I got this book in Kahal's, you know, it was just
like that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll wrap it up.
Yes.
No, we didn't finish that yet. Rashi says, Azam Tar Motsu Botana Kodesh Yitanen. See that?
Mm-hmm.
There's no such thing as pursuit of knowledge. There's an act, the activity of knowledge, rather than that. The Gemara says, "Any base of matter for the church."
So even knowledge is in the
church. That's right. Always, even when we go over an old idea, and that's why I find like, for instance, I'm giving a shiur on Sunday morning. I'm giving a shiur on the topics that I gave already, because the Sunday morning shiur's nature is that we just take questions from the guys. Are you there? So the thing is.
Here, we're
Sunday
morning.
What do you
make
it?
10 o'clock.
Yeah,
we're
off.
Yeah,
this week.
Can you move?
This week.
I can't.
Why are we going?
Yeah,
this week is not sure.
God, all right.
Yeah.
Everybody move. This week.
Well, so last week I hit 10:30. You know, I
thought it was 10:30.
Nobody else can make it either.
What?
No, I couldn't make it.
Next week,
not sure.
You can't
make it.
Are you giving Monday,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Are you giving Monday?
So, as long as you're learning, that's what Rashi's saying. There's always condition coming. There's always something there. That's the nature of knowledge. It's inherent in the nature. And there's always something else. That's
Rashi
over there.
But what's
in
that?
In base on the see? And if there is no chiddush, or a guy's just parroting over Torah, that's not really learning. That's not really learning. When you learn, it has to be, even if you say over a shiur, the greatness of the Rav is, what I saw from the Rav,
that he says over a plan, it's true, he says over a plan, when he says over a plan, he doesn't just repeat all that, other Russians repeat all the things from different Harnum or whatever it is, you know? He doesn't repeat all that. He learns, he relearns it again with her plan. That's why he is, that's why he changes, he has questions and different things, not just parroting over. That's why when he says it over, it's so clear because his mind is working, he's not parroting over. The guy's parroting over, it's a stale thing, you know what I mean? His mind is going through all the possible, he's relearning it again. And that's why he's a double. Okay? The guy's just parroting over stuff, just doesn't learn. That's what Rush said, that the act of learning always inherently has something wrong. The act of learning.
Well, I understand why. Well, it's the same idea. How do you have anything new?
Why?
It's the same idea.
It's not true, because it's true, it might be the same idea. But you see
a clearer understanding.
Clearer, you see more ramifications, you see more results. You see how this idea fits into a greater set of ideas. Constantly seeing new things. That's really, that's the nature of Torah. That's just Rashi. It's an important Rashi.
Okay, what about the times before you start learning? Before you start learning?
That's why,
you
know, person, that's why, right? And that's why the person psychologically can really utilize all his energy and enjoy that. Because inherently, it's something which constantly has newness. Okay? Constantly has newness. The only thing is, I want to know thing that the enjoyment of it is not the same as enjoyment. That's one, in Olam HaBa, different story. So you talk about yes, we got God. God's God knows it. That's different because we can't perceive realms of the enjoyment of Olam HaBa. So we can only talk about this world. So, but in this world, there has to be newness. And man is constructed in such a way that the always have to have newness. But Torah is inherently, nature is constantly new. That's why the only study, the only activity that will totally satisfy me is
A lot of people talk about pleasure and love. A lot of people talk about pleasure and love. No, but you see anyone in this?
Yeah, with fruits and
bananas and
what
is
that?
You went with us, right? When we did Raman Ohala. I tried to slide away for you, you haven't passed probably.
Why?
Well, at first they were worried. In the end they were all with us, you know? Funny thing, after a few months they were all with us in the end, you know?
The last month, I don't know.
Let's take a look at it. Hey, all right, that was a question you asked about the news.
Maybe I have a question.
Well, first of all, in terms of modernity, what do we say modernity is? What's
the
difference between
modernity? The guy thinks that
now is the best. Now, why does a guy do that?
Because he looks back in history, he doesn't want to see himself as this.
Protect himself against what? See, the man wants immortality, has a fancy of immortality, right? Yeah. But if he looks back in history and sees that people are just like him, so that breaks the fancy of immortality, right? Right? So therefore, in order to maintain the fancy of immortality, he has to do what? He has to break the identification between him who's living now and those who live in the past. That's modernity. That's where the emotion of modernity comes.
If he looks in the future?
See? What?
If he looks in the future?
That bothers him. That bothers him. See? If he looks in the future and he thinks that he's just going to be a relic of the past, it bothers him. Can't think of it. That's why we are living now, a lot of times. Uh-huh. Now the thing is this. There's really a halacha like that, too. There's a halacha like that. Where's halacha? You mentioned it before. Mara says, that you're not allowed to, a person is not allowed to make fun of
mates. Okay.
Why isn't he allowed to make fun of the mates? Now, by the way, a lot of people do that. Doctors, you know, when they have in medical school, not all doctors.
Oh, because
I had somebody living downstairs in my house. My first bought my house in my tenant. My first tenants were... He was a gynecologist. So he said that when they used to take out the corpses, you know, medical school, take them out of the So take them out of there. So each guy had his own corpse. He said they used to put like cigars now, nickname of the doctor. Why does a person do that? Why do you think about that?
He has to break the identification.
To the fear of identification, and that's why the Yishalmi said that. Why shouldn't it be low over Rush? That's why the Yishalmi says, why can't you be loyal to the Russian? Why do we have such an assumed on the beast and the whole thing? Why? We don't worry about the mace. He's gone already. It's not going to hurt him. So what's the answer? The Yishalmi says, because of one reason. Because the Mason, and he gives it in a parable form, the form of Moshe. Shami says, the Mason say to us, Mochar, I can do money. Tomorrow you're going to be with us. That's right. But the Isser was in Russian Bible. So what does it mean? What's the marshal over there? What's the marshal? Tomorrow you're going to be with us, and today you're making fun of us. That's the answer. The answer is, the reason why you're making fun of us is because you want to deny that tomorrow you're going to be with us. That's why there's such a terrible listen to be loyal to Rush. Make fun of
this is not reality.
Why? Because that's no, what the man is using it as a protective device. He gets realized
that he's really going to rush the guy himself.
So why
do you need, why do they have, covered him as we, David Schmier, you know, let's nobody there, you know what I mean?
Covered with the mace, I can't trade. Covered the mace shows, when covered the mace, the person comes to identify, it's covered the mace. If you're just leaving there, you negate him, you negate his existence. Even they would be negating his existence. Covered the mace to make the identification. And there's Tev Lechas of Mace Ovo. Why?
Yes, he was.
Later on. That's the thing. Because the Yev covered the rule, there's no identification. That's the whole Mace Ovo. What Mace Ovo? Covered a mace. And the whole Mace Ovo is covered a mace. Why do you have the whole of Vailus is covered a mace? Why? Then he should know, the person should know. And he should identify with the Mason. That's going to happen too. So therefore, he has it. Break the fence in the locality and should go according to reality. The real reality. So people say if the person doesn't go after a lot of money, doesn't go after a successful profession, he's not being realistic. But the real reality is that he should go after those things which are really permanent. Not go after things which are temporary success in this world, because that's not reality. Ultimately, reality is death.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's take one point in the puzzle. Masha Yerushiya, Masha Nafushiya. So what question can we ask?
Why is it
why is it?
No, you want me to ask a question in concept of the puzzle or in the words of the puzzle? I don't know the words of the puzzle.
Right.
Why does that say first in the and I don't know if it's the language.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Why does it say Haya and then
Nasa? Nasa means what was done. Nasa doesn't mean what was done. Nasa means what was done. My Nasa Yakori Gula Mordechai out there. Hayomru lo avdei melech mesharsav lo nasa imo dava. What does lo nasa imo dava mean?
It was done.
Not we won't do anything. Yeah. So mashe nasa. What was done is that which will be done. It's exactly even. But what's the question?
Why is he doing?
Why did he get it? Why did he get it? So mashe ushiyeh. That's enough. Ain't no hard. Was it mashe nasa ushiyeh? That's the answer.
Now,
therefore, but
why do you have to have a good education? Why is the question? Nasa is what you will do. Not the same basic emotion.
I'll tell you. Wait, let me understand this grammatically. Nasa is passing the tone and
past. Of course. Nasa is the same thing as Hoya in the past.
It's the same thing we do. What is now will be done.
That which, I'll give the translation. That which was is that which will be. And that which was done is that which will be done. Okay?
We're the same thing as the past.
Yeah, so why do you have to
do duplication? No, it's not really duplication. We are now, in other words, it's showing that we're in the past now.
We're talking about modernity here, right? Yeah. Modernity expresses itself in two forms. It expresses itself in actions and in objects. Two things. I have a car, right? It's an object. New objects. When a person thinks of modern times, he thinks of the objects and he thinks of the accomplishments. Two things. The actions that we're done. The accomplishments. Tremendous breakthrough. Look what we did. We did new things. We're on the moon. New thing, right? That's an action that we're done. See? An object is the things that you surround yourself with. New car, the television, whatever it is. We live in modern times. They're all different things. Why are they going to have to send the best? Masha Yishir means that the objects themselves will not make any difference, nor the action.
Actions
the
with
journey,
the object.
An action means you did something new. You walked in the moon. You have the same object. Right? I mean, you have a rocket ship. You have one on the moon, so you didn't do a new thing. You have a new object, but you didn't do a new thing. Right? Now, in other words, like this. In other words, modernity, the concept of modernity relates itself to two different things. To the object that you surround yourself with and to the feat, to the accomplishments.
What's
two different things.
So what? What's the difference? So basically the same thing. The emotion is...
It's not the same thing. But the emotion expresses itself in two objects. He's showing you what he's showing you how the emotion works. He's showing you how the emotion works. He's trying to show you what the emotion is, how it expresses itself. So you have to know to recognize it. In two different ways it expresses itself. Not the same thing. Of course there's one underlying thing. But the emotion expresses itself in two different ways. Two different expressions. Showing you a breakdown of the emotion. Because the emotion has it work, works in two different objects that works. Okay? You should know to recognize it in every area. A person will know. You're going to say, right, supposed to be an alchemy, right? So you should know to recognize it in both areas and really see the emotion fully, how it works. I mean, how are you going to break down an emotion if you don't know what it is? Let's show you the expression of the emotion. That's what happens. Of course, not the emotion. Okay? That's all. We'll continue in 2 weeks. Next week's Sunday. I don't know why she's
not. Why not next week?